Well, I would speak to you on this title today, that wood and water work wonders. Wood and water work wonders. You know, there's a lot about, usually on this first Sunday of Lent, the focus is on the temptations in the desert. But the gospel is so brief today, and really the bulk of the readings are about baptism, and our catechumens are with us today, who are getting ready for baptism, so that for all these reasons, I would speak to you not so much on the temptations of Jesus in the desert, but this idea of baptism, and this under this title, that wood and water work wonders. Not water alone, but wood and water. What gives power to the water of our baptism? So let's see if we begin to look. You'll notice that we begin with this image in the first reading about Noah and his family and the flood and the building of the ark. It simply says here that God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. And this prefigures baptism, which now saves you. Now, notice that these flood waters, if you will, negative though the image is, as a kind of a punishment, it really is meant to purify the world and the human family, which had become deeply, deeply corrupted in sin. And so God chooses a family and saves them, Noah's family, eight of them in all, Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And so all of them, eight in all, are going to be saved. They're going to come through this water. But how? On the wood of the ark. It's a huge vessel that Noah builds, and he, if you will, and his family go into this ark. And we see, therefore, that this cleansing flood, this image of baptism, and it is said in the baptismal rite, in the blessing of the water, that the signs of the flood is a sign of making all things new and recreating and washing all things clean. And so we have then an image of baptism here, but it isn't just water, it's wood and water, because it is through the wood of the ark that this family of eight are saved and the human family begins anew and cleansed. So we see, first of all, that wood and water work wonders. Not just the water, but wood and water work wonders. Now follow me a little further, just because this theme of wood and water is very consistent in the scriptures. We go next to the Red Sea. You remember the great Exodus that we'll read about at the Easter Vigil. The people had been in Egypt for 400 years and many of those years as slaves, and now they're finally being set free and Moses is leading them, but there is an army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And God simply says to Moses, take that wooden staff in your hand and hold it up and trouble the waters and command them to part. Holding that wooden staff in his hand, he commands, and the Red Sea, the waters part 30 feet high on either side, and the people can pass through. Would you go through with water standing like a wall on either side of you? Would you? Catechumens, it takes a little courage to get baptized. But listen, notice again, and this is an image of baptism. In fact, St. Paul says that they were all baptized into Moses on that day. Why? Because they were on one side, they were slaves, and their enemy was pursuing them. On the other side, they are free, and their enemy has been vanquished. That's baptism. That's baptism. And so again, it wasn't just water that day. It was wood and water that worked wonders. But now continue with me. Now, we're later on in the book of Exodus, and they come to a place in the desert called Marah, a name which means bitter. And there was a well there, but they could not drink the well because the water was bitter. So they named the place Marah, and they grumbled and they complained, how can we survive in this desert? There's water, but we can't drink it. It's bitter. And once again, God says to Moses, go, cut down that acacia tree, put its wood down into that water, and the water will become sweet, and the people can drink it. And so he did, and the water was sweet, and the people were saved by that sweetened water. But it wasn't water alone. It was wood and water that worked wonders. Now we see we go a little further into the desert, a couple more chapters into Exodus, and they come again to a place, and there doesn't seem to be any water, and the people grumble. And once again, Moses is told, take that wooden staff in your hand now and stand before the rock and bid the water, trouble the waters and bid them to come forth from this rock. And Moses held the staff in hand and he struck the rock and water flowed forth for the people, a saving water. But it wasn't water alone. It was the wood of that staff. Wood and water work wonders. And now go with me now all the way into the book of Joshua. And it comes time finally after 40 years and they're going to enter, they're going to leave the desert and enter into the promised land, which is an image of heaven. But the problem is that the Jordan River is in flood season and it's too difficult to cross. And again, the people complain. And so it is that Joshua was told, Joshua, tell the priest to take up the Ark of the Covenant and put it up on their shoulders. And when their toes touch the waters will part. Now, what was the Ark of the Covenant? It was a box made out of acacia wood and covered in gold, but it was a wooden box. And in the box were the Ten Commandments, a small container of the manna, and the rod of the staff of Aaron. But above all, that ark bore the presence of God. But remember this now, the ark is made of wood. Putting that wooden box up on their shoulders, the priests touched the waters with their feet, and the waters parted. And the people came out of the desert and into the image of heaven, the land flowing with milk and honey. The waters parted. And it wasn't just water that day that led them into paradise, as your baptismal waters will for you, you catechumens. But it was wood and water that worked wonders. Now, you've seen all these images. We have one more we're going to look at. But let's quickly review. First of all, the wood of the ark and the waters, the cleansing waters. But it was wood and water that worked wonders. At the Red Sea, waters that could part and bring them into the freedom of the children of God. But it wasn't the water alone. It was the wood of the staff and the water that worked wonders that day. Or again, at the place of Marah, that bitter place, the wood that is put down into the well and makes the water sweet and they could be saved by this water. But again, it wasn't just the water. It was the wood and the water. Or again, the rock where he strikes the rock in the desert with the staff of made of wood. Wood and water are working wonders. And the river of Jordan, the wooden ark carried, parts the waters, and in to the place of heaven they go. These are images. It's wood and water working wonders. And this is an image for our baptism. But our baptismal waters do not have power by themselves. We will now go to a place called Golgotha. And Jesus is nailed to that old rugged wooden cross. And on the wood of that cross, he dies. And they thrust a lance into his side to make sure he's dead. And there came forth blood and water. But what gives power to that water coming forth from his side is the wood of the cross. It is through his suffering and dying and then rising that Jesus gives us new life. And it is through the wood of that cross that the water of baptism becomes holy. And it baptizes us. Every time a priest blesses water, it connects the water of those holy fountains, those holy water stoops, to the water that came forth from the side of Christ. But it was water that came forth while he was nailed to the wood of the cross. Because wood and water work wonders. And so you see now, catechumens and all of us, that there are many things in the Old Testament that point to the waters of baptism as a cleansing water, a saving water, a delivering water. But it's never water alone. It's always wood and water working together. And then this is all fulfilled in the New Testament, where the Lord, on the wood of the cross, gives us the true saving water from his side. Wood and water work wonders. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to just say a couple more things about baptism. That is, because in this reading today, we are told that we now know where the power of this water to cleanse us and save us comes from. Comes from the wood and the water, the wood of the cross, working wonders in the wounded side of Christ. The water of baptism, by extension, all the sacraments, comes forth from his side on the cross. So we know where the power comes from. But what happens to us in baptism? And there are things said today in the reading that, and I will just simply tell you four of them and just comment on each of them briefly. Well, you know me and that word, but briefly enough. Four things come to us from our baptism as specified today in the readings: salvation, sonship, serenity, and spirit. First of all, salvation. The text today said to us from 1 Peter, baptism now saves you. Baptism now saves you. We believe very firmly as Catholics, along with that Jesus, and as Jesus said in John chapter 3, that unless a person be born again by water and the Holy Spirit, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, some of our Protestant brethren, not all, but some, say that no, it's not baptism that saves you, it's the Jesus prayer, or it's faith. And listen, faith and baptism are connected. Obviously, Jesus and baptism are connected. But I just have this to say to you. The Bible says baptism now saves you. It's important to be baptized, not just to go to a church or make a verbal confession. Jesus commands the first disciples that they should go forth unto all the nations and teach them all that he's commanded, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he warns that if we willfully refuse baptism, knowing that we receive it, we cannot be saved. Knowing that we need to receive it, we cannot be saved. Now, that's important, by the way. That's because I don't want you to think that just if everyone is anyone who hasn't been baptized is going straight to hell. There are people who don't know better, and the Lord has other ways of dealing with them that he hasn't told us about. But for us who know better, baptism is essential and necessary for salvation. All right. So we see that, first of all, the first gift that comes to us is salvation. Now, it says here, just some images from Scripture, that St. Paul says that the Lord rescued us from this present evil age. Likewise, in Psalm 124, speaking of a kind of a floodwaters of this world, if the Lord had not been our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. But praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn apart by their teeth. And we have escaped like the bird of a fowler, and the snare has been broken, and we have escaped. So through the turbulent waters of baptism, we come forth saved by God. So again, the first thing that the teachings or the readings today tell us is that baptism brings us salvation. Salvation. Baptism, it says, now saves you. Now the second thing is sonship. The text here says, Christ suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God the Father. Now, this is a beautiful image again of what baptism does for us. It makes us a son or a daughter of God. We become one of God's children. The first letter of John says to us, he says, beloved brethren, we are God's children now. We become adopted sons and daughters of God. We begin to share. We become a member of the body of Christ. We begin to enjoy our status as God's children, that God now is your Father, Abba, who loves you. Run to him. Ask the Lord to give you a deep affection for the Heavenly Father. It's a great gift of baptism. It says again that Jesus did this for us. He died and gave us baptism to lead us to the Father, to lead us to Him. Now, we see not only salvation and sonship, so that we become God's own dear children, but also serenity. The text says that baptism is not simply the removal of dirt from the body, but it is an appeal to God for a clear conscience. That is to say that as baptism washes away our sins and begins to give us power over sins, and sin becomes less frequent in our life, our conscience begins to become clear, and we're less troubled by our sins, and we're less affected by their effects. So sins begin to be put away, and our conscience gets clearer. We become more serene and more confident with God, less anxious about any notions of punishment. Perfect love, says the Lord, will cast out fear. And one of the greatest fears that we should face is that we would be incapable of enduring the holiness of God. So baptism washes away all sins. In confession, we renew our baptism. Anytime we call upon the Lord for His mercy, we renew our baptismal commitments, and there becomes, if you will, increasingly as we make this journey out of sin, we have a serene, a clear conscience. So we see that baptism brings us salvation and sonship and serenity, and finally, the Spirit. Jesus says here today, it says here of Jesus in this text from 1 Peter, put to death in the flesh, Jesus was brought to life in the Spirit. And He bestows the Holy Spirit now upon us, so that on the day of your baptism, you catechumens and all of us who have been baptized, we are not just washed clean of sin, but we become temples of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. St. Paul says, are you not aware that the Holy Spirit dwells in you as in a temple? So again, the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, comes to dwell within us and bring us up to the temperature of glory. Holy Spirit within us crying out, Jesus is Lord, and crying out, Abba, bringing us closer to both other persons of the Blessed Trinity and bringing us up to the temperature of glory, to the heat of His love. And that love begins to burn within us, and it burns away sin, and we become a furnace of love and charity for people around us. And the Holy Spirit just gently, but every day, transforming us, burning away sin, refining the gold of our life, and bringing us up to the temperature of glory and helping us to cry out, Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And likewise, you did not receive a spirit of adoption to fall into slavery, but again, a spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Abba. And so it is, the Holy Spirit within you, giving you a divine affection for the Father and a great reverence and love for Jesus as Lord. Oh, these gifts of baptism. So much today in the readings. I need to end now, but you start to see the magnificence. Where does the power of baptism come? It comes from the wounded side of Christ on the wood of that cross, and all those Old Testament references pointing to the fact that wood and water would one day work wonders. And it has worked wonders for us if we're baptized, and you who will be baptized, it will work wonders in your life. Likewise, again, we see these gifts of baptism. We see salvation and sonship and serenity and Spirit. A final thought I would leave you with before we celebrate the rite of sending today for our catechumens and for our candidates. It would be simply this. These holy water stoops have holy water in them, each of them. And likewise, when we have the big tanks of holy water in the back, which are all blessed, I want you to know as your pastor, I do the solemn blessing of holy water. I bless and exercise the salt, and I exercise the water and bless the water, and then put the salt and the water together and do a fourth blessing. All right. So it's solemnly blessed holy water, okay? But I want you to know something. That water isn't ordinary water, and it's not just because it's blessed water, but that blessing connects the water in those stoops and in those tanks in the back to the very water that flowed from the side of Christ. And that's a very special water, brothers and sisters, very special indeed. When you use holy water, never forget the love of Jesus Christ, who through wood and water worked wonders and is working wonders in your life. Because it's at a great cost that that water comes to you. He died on the wood of that cross, and his side was heaved open by a spear. And out came not only blood, but water, the same water that through the blessing of the priest reaches these fonts and can touch you still. That water from the wounded side of Christ. Wood and water work wonders. Somebody say amen.